Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Jayant Bhandari, a good friend of the show, private investor. He advises a lot of high net worth investors and institutional investors on the junior mining sector. And Jayant, it's always great to get you on the show just to get your thoughts on how things look in the precious metal sector, how things look in the commodity sector, and what you're looking at as far as the lay of the land and the junior miners. What has your attention right now as far as these gold and commodities markets? Everything has had a nice run really for a while, but there's been a slight consolidation as some of the tensions in the Ukraine-Russia situation have eased a little bit. What do you make of the lay of the land here in the gold and silver prices?
Thanks for having me, Shad. Well, I don't think metal prices and oil prices have necessarily run up too much. And the reason I think that way is that these prices were running up already before the war started between Ukraine and Russia. Now, in our last conversation, I mentioned that gold price stays very resistant and it does not fall below a certain level anymore. And all gold prices has done over the last couple of months is that it has gone up by about from 1800 to 1900. But remember that inflation rate across the world today is between 5 to 10%. So if all prices have to go up by at least that much to make up for the inflation. So in my view, the prices of precious metals haven't really gone up too much, but also more importantly, they haven't necessarily responded to the war that's been happening between Ukraine and Russia. So those people who might be thinking that gold price would fall if the war came to an end tomorrow might stay waiting because it might not fall if war came to an end. And Shad, I was reading a very nicely written article by a journalist called Rick Newman on Yahoo yesterday. And he talks about five myths about oil and gas prices. And he says something very similar about oil and gas prices. You know, it's easy to blame Biden, and I don't like Biden at all. But it's easy to blame Biden for canceling the Keystone pipeline or whatever else he has done, which will have an impact on oil prices in the future. But nothing that he did would have had an impact on what's happening with the oil price today. So again, oil price was going up before the war started, and oil prices had fallen quite a bit during Obama's presidency. Again, I don't like Obama, but you have to accept that oil prices are not necessarily going up because of their immediate policies to do with oil and gas.
Yeah, 100%, Jayant. What a lot of people forget is there's been a decade of disinvestment in oil and gas companies where lobbyist groups have pressured banks and financial institutions to quit investing in oil and gas. Oil and gas companies were disincentivized to invest in their own growth, and the fracking industry was basically pressured to shut down. And a lot of the ESG pressures has caused a lot of investment capital to flee the sector. So the only way any sector can deal with that, and we saw this in coal, the same thing happened, is that prices have to rise. So the oil and gas sector has had prices rising because of a supply issue for a while. And that was happening long before the Ukraine situation. So all Ukraine really did was just extend the trend that was already in motion. So are you suggesting that if the war was to end tomorrow, we'd still see pretty high prices in the commodity sector, all things considered?
Yes, the prices might fall by 10-15%, but if you think that they might fall by a substantial amount, it's not going to happen. And also remember that energy companies weren't really getting a return on their capital over the last one decade. And this is something, again, this journalist, Rick Newman, mentions in his article, an article that I think is worth reading. And so these returns have to get normalized before companies start investing in oil and gas projects. But more importantly, the selfish interest of oil and gas companies today is very basic, which is to not produce more than they can, they are producing right now to ensure that the price does not fall, because this is really their opportunity to make some money after a long period of not making much money. And that's exactly the same thing with commodity companies, commodity mining companies and precious metals companies. So I think this is really an opportunity for some of these companies to make a nice profit for the investors, investors who have not been able to profit much over the last one decade.
Yeah, Giant, we've actually had probably a half dozen oil and gas companies on just over the last month or two. And what the messaging we're getting from them is that they want to make hay while the sun is shining. They want to return money to shareholders. Some of them have increased their dividends. Some of them have done stock buybacks. They're paying down their debt. A lot of them also had restrictive hedging on their books that was keeping them from realizing the full price. And as those hedges roll off and they start paying down their debt and don't have those same covenants, they're now actually having very attractive margins. And so we're also seeing a similar trend play out in the metal space, where for the longest time, it didn't pay you to be a nickel miner or a copper miner or a platinum or palladium miner or tin or aluminum. And now with these higher prices, a lot of the mining companies finally have pretty fat margins in place. Do you think this is going to be an example of where some of the generalist investors, because of all this recent news, start re-looking at the commodity sector and start considering taking investment stakes in the commodity sector, maybe for the first time for many generalists?
Well, Shad, it's commodity mining companies are often blamed for being very money-minded. The reality is that this sector does not really generate enough profit to justify the investment that these companies make. So in a way, investors in mining companies do a charity work for the society, because they provide capital at a very low cost of capital for commodity production. And that is one of the bigger reasons why generalist investors would not want to invest in mining companies, because these mining companies don't necessarily produce much profit, and they almost certainly don't outperform the underlying commodities that they produce. As a result, I think what any investor must do is to isolate companies that actually provide them a good upside, rather than invest across the sector in several of these mining companies. So I think for the generalist investor to be attracted to the mining sector will take a while, because my fear is that when the next quarterlies start coming out, the profitabilities might not be as good as what commodity prices show. And the reason is that inflation is huge. Stagflation is huge. The supply chain issues are there. So if you consider all those problems, generalist investor might still take a while before he pays attention to the mining sector. What is important to me is that I should continue to look for companies that provide me a nice upside using the current commodity prices.
Well, those are some good points, Giant, that a lot of people forget about. Inflation has eaten into the profits of a lot of companies, because it's not just rising fuel costs, but is rising construction costs, cement, wood, you know, lumber, and also rising wages. So that has eaten into the profits. However, if people are encouraged that some of these metals prices could keep moving higher, that would possibly outpace some of the inflationary pressures. If we see gold and silver continue to press a little bit higher, that would help some of the profitability. And there are some good margins in some of the larger producers. So maybe it'll just take a little more time. But I know you go a little further down the food chain and you're looking at the companies that are exploring for and developing for the next projects that will feed the mining industry. And you've always got a few companies you're looking at that you think are presenting a good value opportunity. Any ideas or any suggestions on some companies that may be worth reviewing for our listeners?
Yes, Shad, and I totally agree with you about commodity prices. I think there's a lot further for these prices to rise, particularly for gold, silver, oil and gas prices to increase because of what's happening in the world. One company that, Shad, I was talking with you of before you started recording is a company called West Vault Mining. The ticker is WVM. Now, I don't own any stock in this company because it's a very, very illiquid stock. So you have to be very patient acquiring this company. And of course, institutional investors cannot really invest in any substantial way in this company because it's a very illiquid stock. They have an interesting project in Nevada, Hasbrook Gold Project, and this is going to be a low-grade heap leach project. Now, Shad, with heap leach project, the interesting thing is that once you have invested in these kind of projects, the cost of production is relatively immune to inflationary pressures. You don't really, there's less of unpredictability in production processes of heap leach project companies. And what Westvolt has done is that they have had a re-look at the project, and this company has a market capitalization of about $60 million. They will produce about 70,000 ounces a year over 7 years or so, 7 or 8 years. This company is very tightly held. About 75% of the stock is held within a group of people, in particularly Sun Valley, which is a mutual fund. So this is a company that I'm interested in. I have been talking with the management, but again, I have not been able to acquire any stock in this company so far.
Yeah, Giant, I had mentioned off mic that I'm familiar with Westvolt because before this, they were actually called West Kirkland. And I looked at them because I'm always fascinated by mining in Nevada. I'm always fascinated by the Walker Lane trend. And some of our listeners on the show I know are invested in Scorpio Gold. Westvolt Mining is actually right next door to Scorpio Gold. And they're also on the same trend that Corvus was developing their Bullfrog project and then that Linda Strip that they found. And Corvus did such a good job of developing their project that a major, AngloGold Ashanti, came in there and started hitting at their silicon deposit on this exact same trend that Westvolt's on. And they bought Corvus for a very nice takeover for hundreds of millions of dollars just last year. And then Core Mining also has their Sterling deposit there that used to be Northern Empire. They took over Northern Empire to get that Sterling deposit. This is all in the exact same trend, and they call it a string of pearls. And Westvolt has its own string of pearls. They don't only just have Hasbrook, but they also have the Three Hills Project and the Hill of Gold Project all right in a row there on the Walker Lane trend. Does the jurisdiction and this area being a prolific mining area play into your interest in it, or is it strictly the economics on the project that has your interest, Giant?
Well, I'm always interested in protecting my capital. So at the current share price, I think my capital would be well protected and is still offering me, in my view, about 200% upside. And then there is an upside from the blue sky. There is a package of land east and west of the project. And I think the package of land in the east is held by a private company. A package on which Westvolt, when it was in its earlier incarnation, had an option on, but they gave up the option. But maybe there is a possibility of re-looking at that area again. So there is a blue sky potential in the company, but what Westvolt does not want to do is to spend too much money right away. They want the share price, the underpinning value of the company to start reflecting in the share price before they invest more money in exploration or to put the project into production by raising capital.
Well, and Jai, this brings up an interesting idea, which we were also talking about, and that is mining companies coming into a project that is known, but with a fresh set of eyes and looking at it in a different way and looking at the optionality that's already there on the project from all the historic work that's been done and really packaging that up and showing the marketplace that there is value here and hopefully that a larger player would be interested. You had mentioned a couple of other companies that have also had that same approach of coming into a historic project, reimagining it, and having some success putting it back out to the marketplace, you know, with a fresh approach. I'd love you to maybe expand on that point.
Well, I mean, let's look at Westvolt. This project was in the hands of a company called Allied Nevada, which went bankrupt trying to make money out of extremely low-grade rock. They were trying to produce as many ounces at a loss making bigger and bigger losses as time went by, and they went bankrupt. Now, this project, Hasbrook project, was sitting with them, but they did not really put this project into production, which actually, if they had had a proper look at it, offered them a very high return on investment. The current management, from what I see, did take a re-look at the project without actually doing much on the project. All they did was to financially re-look at the project, redesign the project. And as a result, what you have is an extremely high IRR on this project, close to 100%, with a very nice NPV. So that's the kind of things an astute management looking for profitability can do. Two companies that I want to mention, Shad, now I'm not invested in those two companies, but those two companies have done an absolutely fabulous job of creating value without doing much in the ground. One company is Artemis Gold of Stephen Dean. And all they did was that they had a re-look at the project, redesigned how they were going to mine and process the rock. And they created literally hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of value by what to an outsider looks like a simple re-look at the project. And Prime Mining, which has a project in Mexico, did exactly the same thing. They had this project. They did not really do much work before the value started reflecting in their stock price, because all they did was to relook at what the work earlier operators had done meant. And by relooking at it, they created value through just redesigning the project.
Yeah, it's a fascinating idea, because there's a myth out there, and I think it's a myth that should be dispelled in the mining industry, that you don't want an old project that's being recirculated. You want to go find a greenfields, brand new project and build it from the ground up. That's where the money is. But I was on two calls yesterday with two different companies. One of them was Gold Mountain Mining, which I know you're familiar with as well, Giant. And they had re-logged some old core, and they increased the reserves of their deposit by 30 to 40%. Not by going out and they have done drilling, but just by reinterpreting old core and relogging it, they were able to get all that value from prior work, and it was just sitting there in the ground. And another company I talked with yesterday was Zacatecas Silver. And what Brian Slezarczyk and his team are doing is they have 70,000 meters that were already drilled by Alamos Gold, and all they're doing is reinterpreting that project, their Esperanza project. So I think there's a myth that you shouldn't go after an old project in the mining industry. But I see just the opposite. I see companies like Artemis, Prime Mining, West Vault that you just mentioned going into an old project and being able to show value creation to investors simply by demonstrating the value that's already there in the project from prior operators.
Well, Shad, I completely agree with you about both the companies you mentioned, and I do follow Gold Mountain very closely. I own a lot of shares in Gold Mountain. These guys have done an absolutely fabulous job. And as I mentioned to you probably last year sometime, that a client of mine and I tried to acquire that project before, and these guys and Kevin ended up with this project. These guys have done an absolutely wonderful job of re-looking at the project and moving this project towards production. So yes, you can basically create a huge amount of value by just being very rational and focused on what you are trying to do, which is that you should try to create profitability rather than ounces of production that you do.
Absolutely. I'm more interested in profitability from a company than I am a slick marketing presentation. But if somebody can take an old project and reimagine it and show me that value creation, I'm on board, just like I am if it's a new project. I think that the key is having a good management team that knows how to create value. Any other parting advice or wisdom, or just look at the markets before we wrap up here, Giant? Any other ideas you'd like to leave investors with?
Well, Shad, I think the inflation is going to continue to be very high. There is a huge amount of stagflation, I think. I keep hearing from companies about supply chain problems and the problems to do with getting workers to work in their mines. So I think stagflation will hurt the profitabilities of many companies. And my view is that prices of gold and oil and gas will actually continue to go up over the next few weeks or next few months, even if the war comes to an end.
Well, something commodity investors should keep an eye on, but also all citizens of the planet should keep an eye on, because inflation does eat into the purchasing power of the individual consumer and also of businesses. So it's a factor that it counterweights some of the rise in commodities, but it also is still a bullish underpinning for the resource sector. So we'll wrap it up there. Giant, it's always great having you on the show and having you share some of the companies you're looking at and just share your macroeconomic thoughts on the market. So we appreciate you spending some of your time with us here at the KE Report and looking forward to the next conversation.
Thank you very much, Chad.